You are the only person with your unique set of skills, abilities, experiences, talents, insights, perspectives, giftings, nuances, idiosyncrasies. You are the only person who will ever exist on the planet ever that has the exact combination of all of that stuff that you do. The only person. And so for us to think that we somehow like don't matter, to for one second doubt that we don't have something unique and special to say, is a disservice to humanity.
Welcome to the Passionate Painter Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Italia Carlson. Whether your art is a full-time career or your side gig, if you are passionate about creating art, this podcast is for you. Don't worry about taking notes. I'll do that for you. And you can find them at PassionatePainterPodcast.com. Welcome back. In this 94th episode of the Passionate Painter Podcast, I get to introduce you to Rachel Druckenmiller. She's a singer and founder of Unmuted, the platform through which she encourages people to stop hiding and step up into the light to pursue their dreams. She is the perfect person to encourage you. Now, as you know, this podcast focuses on visual artists, specifically those in the fine arts. As I mentioned at the beginning of the video interview, I've brought Rachel, both a singer and motivational speaker, to share her message of encouragement and inspiration to build your confidence as a creative and pursue your dreams in spite of roadblocks and fear. Her message is one we can all benefit from, and the fact that she sings during parts of this interview makes it even more magical. Enjoy. This interview ran to an hour, so I've broken it into two parts for your listening convenience. Part two is available now at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode 95. Today's guest is here to activate and unleash possibility, confidence, courage, and clarity. She's the daughter of two entrepreneurs and has worked with organizations like Sherwin-Williams, Citizens Bank, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the American Heart Association. Recognized by Forbes, The Daily Record, and Workforce Magazine as an award-winning entrepreneur, Rachel is on a mission to help people step into the most unmuted version of themselves at work and at home. Rachel is married to her college sweetheart, Bill. She sang with the band at her best friend's wedding and loves a good dance party or karaoke night. She's also a singer-songwriter whose music can be found wherever streaming music is available. I've long thought that you would be the perfect person to speak to my artist listeners because your whole mission is to encourage people to get out there and unmute themselves and find confidence and clarity in their purpose. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you to start us off by telling our listeners about yourself and how you came into your career leading people to be resilient, confident, and unmuted.
So I was, like you, right, the product of an entrepreneurial household. And so when you grow up raised by entrepreneurs, you're raised by people that are creative, you know, that are inherently people that push the envelope, that are inherently people that aren't doing the things everybody else is doing. And I feel like artistry is just inherently, that's what that is, you know, when we're willing to express ourselves in some way, when we're willing to put our experience, our soul, our feelings, our energy into the creative expression of a thing, you know, that's a really brave thing to do. And it's something that a lot of people aren't willing to do. And so I think the roots for what I do now were laid from the time I was really little in terms of giving me some of that courage, instilling that in me. But when I was younger, I don't know that I would have considered myself a tremendously creative person. I didn't necessarily see myself as somebody, I was confident in certain ways. Like I knew I was a good student. And if everyone else in my class was doing this one behavior and I disagreed with it, I would stand on my own and be, allow myself to not fit in with the group, allow myself essentially to experience rejection for the sake of upholding whatever I thought was morally correct and principled. So I think as I look back in retrospect, you know, we can see certain things about ourselves when we're younger and be like, that was a brave thing. You maybe didn't think it was brave at the time, but it is brave to stand on your own and to risk rejection from your peers.
Very brave.
You know, and you have to do that also as a creative, right? You're, when you're putting yourself out there, you're risking rejection. Someone's not going to like the way that you did the thing, or they're going to, someone's going to think it's not good enough, or someone's going to think you could have done this little thing a little differently. And it's like, it's often the people that are critiquing that are not the people that are putting themselves out there, you know, in their own way. So they just get to critique everybody else's stuff. So, you know, I really spent a lot of my life in this space of silencing myself and what I thought and what I felt when I was going through difficult things. I didn't tell people. I was a journaler. In the first earliest forms of my creative expression were journaling, writing poems, writing stories, because I felt like, well, I'm not going to be judged here. These pages belong to me and nobody else, and no one else is ever going to see them. And so I can just write and say what I want. And, you know, I think a lot of us have had some experience of not being able to express a part of what we think or what we feel or what we want because we're afraid of what someone else is going to think, or we're afraid of rejection, or we're afraid of failure, we're afraid of judgment, we're afraid of disappointing somebody, we're afraid of burdening somebody. And so it's really taken me, you know, like almost 40 years to get to the point now where I'm willing to put myself out there the way that I do, to leave a corporate job of 13 years and start a speaking business 7 months before a global pandemic hits. And really draw on that creativity that was instilled in me from a young age to be resourceful. Like creativity is an expression, I think, of resourcefulness too. And that's something that I've been able to draw on. And it's just been this journey, this ongoing journey of expressing myself as an artist in terms of most recently, publicly, singing aspect of what I do. So putting myself out there as a singer-songwriter and creating music and drawing on the, you know, the writings and journalings and musings I had when I was very little. It's like it did start. We can see the ties of where those things started, even if we don't realize it at the time. So, you know, I'm continuing to go on this journey of doing the work, of putting myself out there, of doing some introspection and reflection and talking to friends and journaling and seeing therapists and coaches and doing all the things that we need to do to evolve at a spiritual, emotional, and creative level.
And inspiring people along the way.
Yeah.
And sharing, spreading your courage.
That has taken time. I think sometimes there can be an experience that we have that's a catalyst that leads to us being courageous. For me, one of those experiences was when we put ourselves into a new situation, a novel situation that's unfamiliar. I think courage naturally emerges. And for me, the distinct kind of sliding door moment I can think of when that happened for me was when I studied abroad in Spain in college. And I took myself out of the environment that I knew, the language that I knew, the people that I knew. And I went and lived in this place where I didn't know anyone. And I had to navigate, like, everything about that world. And I came back from that and I was a different person. And that's when I first started, like, let me try this singing thing in front of people and see how that goes. And 20 years later, I finally start writing my own music. You know, so it's been this process of going through these experiences of allowing myself to be challenged, of stepping up when I'm called to do so, or where I see an opportunity and being willing to say, let me give it a try. Even if I mess up, let me give it a try.
What was that moment when you first stepped out there and you sang publicly? Like, what was that first shove? What'd that look like?
Well, I mean, I was in, I went to a Catholic school from first to 12th grade and we had choir and stuff. And, you know, they would have people sing at the liturgies in the front of mass. And so I would sing with like a small group of people, but very softly. I mean, there was like 10% of the capacity of my voice is what I would let out in those moments. So I would not say I was singing. I was whatever. And my senior year of high school, I found out that we had private voice instruction at my school. And I thought, well, that is the safest way to do this because it's just in front of one person. So I'm going to take lessons. Tell me how kind of ridiculous this sounds. I'm going to take lessons to improve my technique to get better at a thing I'm never going to do to perform in front of anyone.
Right.
That was actually what I was thinking when I signed up for this. I wasn't like, I want to do theater. No. Like, get me off of that stage. No, thank you. No, thank you at all. I wouldn't even join the choir, which had like 100 people in it. I wouldn't even, because you had to audition in front of people. And I was like, too risky. You know, we do that. We cut ourselves off from an opportunity because we already have predetermined the 15 steps down the road that we're going to completely humiliate ourselves. So we don't even attempt it. And so voice lessons for me was a way to ease into it in a way that I felt comfortable with. And then my instructor said, so what song are you going to sing at the year-end recital? And I was like, oh, well, let me tell you how I'm going to be your first student who doesn't do that.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, I sang Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
I love that song.
It's a very emotional. At 17, I didn't know what the song was about. It's a heavy song. You know, it's about her losing a friend to an overdose. And I got up to sing. And at no point in that day did I experience joy. It was like a duty I had to fulfill. I got up, she played the piano, I sang my song. I felt like my mouth was open about 20%. And I sat down. I actually don't even remember it happening. Like, I know that it did, but I think I almost like blocked it out. And I sat down and I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do that again. Thank goodness that's over.
So what changed?
And then a year and a half later, I was in college. A year later, I was in college, and we had this gospel choir at my school that was, they dressed in these golden yellow robes, and the director was this incredibly charismatic, talented, like energetic guy, and he had this contagious way about him. And I remember the school, everyone would pack out the chapel for their concerts, and it was standing room only. And I was in this space. And as somebody who grew up listening to like Desiree and Mariah Carey and Amy Grant, people with gospel roots, right? I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And you didn't have to try out. You want to sing, you get in. So I got in, you know, and it wasn't until the semester abroad that I came back from that they were doing tryouts for solos for the spring concert that I said, I think I'm at least as good as some of these other people that have gotten solos. And that was the beginning of like, I was still waiting till everyone left and it was just me and the director to try out. But I did, you know, I stepped up to the microphone in front of an empty church and I closed my eyes and I sang. I mean, I can share with you what I did if you want me to.
Yeah, that was my next question was, I know you didn't get your questions ahead of time, but how would you feel about sharing some of that music with us?
Yeah. So the song that I don't even know if this is ultimately the song I ended up singing at the concert. I might have sung a different song, but it's a song I recall trying out with. And it's the song is When I Rose This Morning, and a group called the Mississippi Mass Choir sings it. So I'll just sing a line from it. And the line has meaning that is not lost on me as I think about what I was doing when I sang it. So here you go. This morning when I rose, yeah, I didn't have no doubt. This morning when I rose, yeah, I didn't have no doubt. This morning when I rose, yeah, this morning when I rose, yeah, I didn't have no doubt.
Every time you sing, it goes right here. Oh, I love it. And congratulations on your new single.
Thanks.
Thank you for singing. You inspire me. I joined the church choir as well. I thought a lot of you when I did it because I wanted to do it for a long time. So I'm looking at that myself, just pursuing it. But I'll probably get the voice coach first, and so I don't have to sing to anybody.
I love it. I'll do it again. I just hired a voice coach 2 years ago for the first time in almost 20 years, and we work together every week.
And I think you hit on something really important. I think that you have to follow the joy.
Yeah.
So looking at where our listeners are coming from as largely visual artists, I do think there's that commonality of having a passion for something that you desperately want to do all the time, like breathing. Mm. Yet continually holding yourself back for fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. And I think that many of us as artists of any kind actually move farther than we realize toward that goal. But when we're on the verge of crossing it, we stall or even trip ourselves out of maybe self-protection. Can you speak about ways we can get ourselves to unlock confidence and clarity?
You know, for I think part of it when it comes to creative work, you know, I view, there's a book called Big Magic, Elizabeth Gilbert, and there's a line she has in there that I absolutely adore. And I'm like, where's the book? It's on the shelf. Hold on 1 half second.
Yeah, sure. And I'll be sure to link to it in the show notes.
Okay. I typically like bookmark this page. Ha ha ha. I know myself so well. I just, if I could read some of just an excerpt from this book, because it's so...
Go ahead. Absolutely.
Anybody who doubts themselves about this, right? It's, are you considering becoming a creative person? Too late. You already are one. To even call somebody a, quote, creative person is almost laughably redundant. Creativity is the hallmark of our species. We have the senses for it. We have the curiosity for it. We have the opposable thumbs for it. We have the rhythm for it. We have the language and the excitement and the innate connection to divinity for it. If you are alive, you are a creative person. You and I and everyone you know are descended from tens of thousands of years of makers, decorators, tinkerers, storytellers, dancers, explorers, fiddlers, drummers, builders, growers, problem solvers, and embellishers. These are our common ancestors. We are all the chosen few. We are all makers by design. So I think sometimes what we can do that is helpful. I think sometimes we limit creativity to artistic expression, and we don't recognize that creativity can show up in other ways. So, you know, as a problem solver, as somebody who can take a skill that you have and apply it to something that you can get paid to do while you're figuring out how to get paid to do the thing that you really want to do all the time. I mean, I wanted to leave my corporate job 7 years before I did. 7 years before I did. And the thing that I had started to do is I just started to notice where I was getting asked to do things. And I started to notice where people were things people were appreciating me for, or things that they were thanking me for, or things that I would repeatedly get emails about or comments about that I did well. And I would document that. A lot of us, somebody gives us praise and we feel so uncomfortable hearing it that we don't even let it sink in because we dismiss it or we diminish it or we deflect it or we do something because it's uncomfortable for so many people to allow praise to sink in because we're told that if you do that, you're an egomaniac or you're going to be too big for your britches or who do you think you are? All this nonsense that I think we need to stop listening to. And if we start to notice what are people appreciating you for, there could be something else that, you know, if you're trying to make a living doing what you're doing, for instance, right? And you're like, I just don't know if I can cut it. To get creative and like, what are other ways for you to use the skills and talents that you use to create your art? Are there other ways to use it? So for me, you know, I didn't know that I wanted to be a speaker, and I get to basically tell stories and design experiences for people for a living, which feels like very creative work. And, you know, I wasn't at a spot where I felt comfortable doing that on my own for quite a while. And so I just looked at what I was doing in my current job and thought, well, how can I integrate these things that I want to do into my work in a way that is enjoyable for me in a way that brings value to my employer? That's a question a lot of people don't ask themselves. And it might mean coming up with a creative solution. It often requires working for an employer that is open, you know, and isn't just like, here's the box you're in, stay there. You know, I happened to work for somebody that was open to the different things I wanted to do. So I think that's part of it. Not being in this spot where you need to, like for me, my music now is just, I don't care if I make a dime off of any music I create or recording. That being said, who knows how I feel about that 5 years from now, but like, you know, I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because it's in my heart to share these messages with people. And it's been a source of joy and aliveness for me my whole life. And I know that I'm called to do it, you know, but I think the difference is that I'm not having to do that for money. You know what I mean? Like I purely get to do that for the creative pursuit of it and for the experience of gift giving. So I think another way that someone could connect to a sense of, if someone's thinking, well, how do I know which of the skills that I'm applying to my art could be used at work? I'm a big advocate of certain assessments like Clifton Strengths, Values in Action, the VIA Institute on Character. And so those are two assessments I really love because one looks at your character strengths and the other looks at your a different set of strengths. And I like to look at the language that's used across both of those types of assessments, or even something like, some people are fans of the Enneagram, people are fans of DISC. There's so many different things out there. But something that I found to be really helpful that was a fun creative process is to take a bunch of these different assessments and to notice what were the common threads and themes that crossed over in all of them. And how could I take the language that these assessment tools were giving me and use that language to communicate to somebody else what it is that I did well, what it is that was a differentiator, what it is that I brought to the table. And that would be something anyone listening could do.
It's helpful. I took one of those assessments through your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, right?
Yeah. And it opened my eyes in a lot of ways. It gave me insight into areas where I excel or I struggle in the day work. I do design during the day. Mm-hmm. And when I have friction or it doesn't feel like it's flowing, that I could see alignments with where my personality strengths were. Mm-hmm. And when I was out of sync, things just weren't flowing with the creativity the way that they could be. And when they were flowing, it really was in line with those strengths, mm-hmm. personality-wise, in addition to skills-wise.
Yeah.
And that's worth honoring. You know, there are days where I thought, well, you mentioned a box. I have to fit into this box, or this design is a corporate assignment, so I have to take it on in a certain way or communicate in a certain way at work. Mm-hmm. And some of those ways that I perceived in colleagues who didn't have the same personality strengths I do, mm-hmm. they have different strengths. Mm-hmm. If I tried to mirror them and it wasn't me, then I was struggling and I was thinking that there was something wrong with me because maybe, you know, I wasn't fitting in with the same personalities. But I don't think the goal is to meet everyone on their terms and mirror everybody around you. I think it's to find where you excel. And it's probably going to be in areas that you're already naturally strong.
Yeah.
And reinforce that and honor that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And ask yourself, what's a way? So one of the ways people feel fulfilled at work and what they're doing is asking yourself, what's a way that I could express this particular strength this week? So like spirituality, creativity, and curiosity are three of my top five character strengths. And spirituality is really from their definition of, you know, connecting to a sense of sort of transcendent meaning and purpose. And I'm inherently a meaning maker. Like everything that happens, I look around, I'm like, what's the meaning? Sometimes I spiritually bypass. I like sometimes like get to the meaning before I've actually dealt with and integrated whatever the thing is that happened. And that's something I have to like catch myself in sometimes. But knowing this about yourself is so helpful because then you can convey to someone, I could say, hey, as somebody who's inherently really curious and somebody who's creative and resourceful, if you're looking for someone to deliver a different type of experience, you know, as a speaker, and as someone who's deeply connected to wanting to make an impact that's meaningful to an audience, these are some things I can do that are going to help to differentiate me to have to bring value to your event, right? So if I can specifically say those things, like I'll ask questions that catalyze insight, that unleash possibility and curiosity, like people, like, oh, we want that, you know? And so it's taken a lot of time to get to the point where I can whittle that down, or say from StrengthsFinder, their language, say I'm a strategic achiever who is futuristic. And so I can naturally, I'm someone who can kind of see the, you know, I can see the big picture vision, but I can also map out paths for how to get there in a way that might be uncommon. And as a result of that, I'm really good at helping people to, you know, get motivated and to get unstuck and, you know, to arrive at a new solution and something that elevates a sense of possibility in them so that they feel more hopeful. So when we have this language, we've actually mined ourselves, like when we study ourselves and we combine those types of assessments with questions we can ask other people, like, hey, what shows up when I do? What qualities do I bring into a room? Or, hey, when you've seen me at my best, can you tell me about a time when you've seen me at my best? What showed up? What showed up in me? What did you see in me in that moment? So you allow the combination of the self-reflection, of doing your own work, of just noticing, what do people thank me for? What do I feel most alive when I'm doing it? With these vetted assessments, you know, with allowing other people to be a mirror, people that know us, allow them to reflect back. The combination of all those things give us a lot of clarity about who we are and what we do well. And then once we have more clarity to communicate what it is we do well, that gives us greater confidence to be able to communicate it and advocate for ourselves and ask for what we want and need and put ourselves out there because we're firm in who we are. And there's a confidence that comes with that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think that as artists, we're always told, and I think put pressure on ourselves, find my voice. What's my message? What's my artist statement? What am I about? And you're supposed to have this all figured out. And I think it starts with doing the work yourself on yourself, as you said, which I think involves allowing space for quiet time, which I think is largely missing for people these days with all of the constant barrage of input. And my listeners will tell you that I nag them about meditating, because training yourself to relax, which is great for reducing stress, but to actually stop and train yourself to listen not only to others and what they're telling you about what they see in you, but to hear your own wisdom inside of your own self, mm-hmm. but also to look for those personality aspects and those strengths. And when you do that work that you're talking about, that right there is bringing a lot of that information to you if you start to focus on it and be able to pay attention to what information is readily available if you know where to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you don't feel like you also, it sort of is, it can be a form of validation.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we hear the same thing over and over again, it's like, maybe all these things aren't lying to me. Maybe there's some truth into what I'm reading or what I'm realizing or what other people are telling me. Maybe and that's part of the journey is being able to learn to accept and receive that as opposed to push it away.
That's really good that you've pointed that out, particularly because part of having confidence and realizing success as an artist involves getting comfortable with accepting praise and self-promotion. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for creatives to advance their careers without feeling like they're being obnoxious? They, you know, artists will often shut themselves down when it comes time to speak up for their own achievements.
Hmm. I mean, there's a group called Catalyst that does a lot of research around leadership. And there was a study that they did, this was like early 2010s. And they found that specifically related to women, that one of the best ways for women to advance their careers, to increase their salary growth and to accelerate in their careers is to make their achievements known, which is one of the things that most of us are told from the time we're itty bitty. Do not do that. Do not toot your own horn. You need to let your work speak for itself. Well, guess what? Sometimes work doesn't speak for itself. And if here's the frame I always like to invite people to think about when you're thinking about self-promotion. Because inherently, if you're a creative or you're an entrepreneur, you work for yourself, like you just have to be okay with promoting yourself. It's the way that it's done that matters. And there's some nuances to that. And one is asking yourself, if you're sharing something, asking, am I in service to the audience or am I in service to my ego? So am I doing this? Is me sharing this just here to puff myself up? Or is there something here that the audience could or the audience or the my, you know, group that I want to reach, that they could somehow benefit from or see themselves in or see a version of their story in, that reading this or seeing this thing or listening to this thing could somehow help them in some way? I mean, when I first put my song out there, you know, I was initially like, are people going to get tired of me talking about this song all the time? Like, are people going to be over it? Then the stories I would hear from people would send me messages and, you know, say, I play this song. This song has become my 11-year-old daughter's anthem. Or I played the song for my executive coaching clients who were going through a really difficult time and they were in tears. And played this for my husband who's dealing with PTSD and it brought him to tears. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm doing a disservice if I'm not sharing this expression. Because like the intent, putting it out there in the first place I did it. So the song's called Somebody. I wrote it because, you know, I felt like for most of my life, I had to, and I still get caught up in this, I have to prove that I'm somebody. I have to be impressive enough for someone to see me as somebody who matters. I cannot just be who I am. If I am being myself and I am not going above and beyond, then, I mean, what's the point? That was how I felt for a lot of my life. And, you know, the song for me was an anthem and a declaration to say, you know, what if you believed you are somebody already? You know, regardless of how many people purchase your art, regardless of how many people listen to your podcast, regardless of how many people buy your song. I mean, people ask me, oh, has it been successful? And I was like, on what terms? Like, has the song been successful? I offered a part of myself to the world in a way that has always been a source of joy for me. And I didn't even know that I could do it. And I did it. Whatever follows is icing on the cake. But that was the point. The point was because I had something to say that only I could say in the way that I said it, that only I could sing in the way that I sang it at the time that I did it. And so when you think about your art, I mean, there's a book called The War of Art, Stephen Pressfield. And one of the things he writes about is this resistance that we experience as creatives, you know, this capital R resistance that gets in the way and tells us that, you know, I'm not sure if you have what it takes. I'm not sure if this is good enough. But the reality is you are the only person with your unique set of skills, abilities, experiences, talents, insights, perspectives, giftings, nuances, idiosyncrasies. You are the only person who will ever exist on the planet ever that has the exact combination of all of that stuff that you do. The only person. And so for us to think that we somehow like don't matter, to for 1 second doubt that we don't have something unique and special to say, is a disservice to humanity.
This wraps up part one of my interview with singer, motivational speaker, and resilience coach, Rachel Druckenmiller. Don't forget, part two is available now at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode95. Don't forget to join my podcast Insider Circle for free downloadable ebooks, cheat sheets, and checklists exclusively for my podcast insiders and students. You'll also receive a reusable coupon for the lowest price available on all of my self-paced online courses. Sign up for free in the sidebar at PassionatePainterPodcast.com.
Until next time, go make something.